We are grateful for the privilege of being present in this audience that we might worship God as He directs us in His will, that we might continue and conclude our worship to God on this Lord's Day. Certainly, it is good to see each of you here this evening. We express our appreciation to Brother Eric for directing us in our singing in a fine manner, and as always, for you in the audience who, in a very cooperative and harmonious way, have blended your voices together with his. We are grateful likewise for the meaningful prayer that was led by Brother Waller and for the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Gary Davis. I do want to mention before I go to my lesson that a magnetic bracelet has been lost. It belongs to Sister Lydia Green. If you see such a bracelet, if you find such a bracelet or have seen or found such a bracelet, do not consider it a gift from the Lord. Sister Lydia would like to have it returned if we can locate it. A magnetic bracelet. Turn, please, in your Bibles to the scripture lesson that was read. We could read a number of different verses. Brother Gary read for us verses 17 and 18 from chapter 16. We're going to visit a few other verses in the book of Samuel that relate to our lesson this evening shortly. But I'd like to read again, for the sake of re-emphasis, these two verses. 1 Samuel 16, 17 and 18. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. And he meant by play well who is a quality musician, can play a musical instrument. Verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters or words, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. David, outstanding biblical character, occupying a prominent place in God's great plan for the redemption of man from the bondage of sin. He is often celebrated and praised and commended as an example for others to follow. He in sacred scripture is touted as a man after God's own heart. The Lord himself used David's life and David's example, despite his flaws, imperfections, mistakes, and sins. God used his life to challenge the lives lives of numerous others. Even after David committed the terrible sin in the Bathsheba Gate scandal of committing adultery with Bathsheba and eventually committing murder in so far as killing her husband so that he could appropriate his wife and widow to be his wife. That was an egregious and lamentable transgression or transgressions on the part of David, but still, David is a great man in sacred literature, and still, David figures large in the lineage of Christ as a preeminent ancestor. Christ spoken of as the son of David. Some say David was a great sinner. They also say David was a great repenter, a man after God's own heart. I'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson this evening, David, an officer and a gentleman. Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in play and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. King Saul needed a man to help him with a special problem he had. One of Saul's servants recommended David for the job. You ever recommended somebody for a job, for an assignment, for a position? When you recommend somebody, you want to give an accurate recommendation. When you recommend somebody, you don't want them to let you down. When you recommend somebody, you want them to live up to the recommendation that has been made. Have any of you ever been recommended by anyone to somebody? I think most of us have been. It's good to be able to be recommended and to have a good recommendation. Often with job applications, they will require or request that you supply or make available recommendations from those who know you and those who have a great degree of confidence in you. So David was recommended. We see several salient qualities identified in this verse. Noble qualifications of David according to the recommendation for the task. These specified qualifications give principles that need to be characteristic of all of our lives, men and women, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, parents and children. All of us should be characterized by these essential and commendable qualities that were exhibited and exemplified in the life of David. I have seen a man, a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. First of all, he is cunning in playing. Cunning in playing. That speaks of skill. This spoke of his skill on the harp. And Saul needed a harp player, someone to soothe his troubled spirit. It also spoke of industriousness. You do not become skilled in anything without diligent practice. We can reasonably conclude that David did not sit idle and daydream while tending his father's sheep, but that he used his time to practice. You become good at nothing without practice. You want to be good at golf? Practice. Good at tennis? Practice. Good at banking? Practice. Good at nursing? Practice. Good at swimming? Practice. Good at horseshoes? Practice. James Waller's good at horseshoes, and I am not. And the difference is practice. Good at checkers or chess. Good at praying. Good at reading the scripture. Good at practicing the principles of personal evangelism. Practice. Kobe Bryant is reputed to have, in the middle of his career, the habit during the summer of practicing diligently and persistently and consistently. I'm told that he threw 2,000 free throws every day. So when he was on the free throw line, you could expect him most of the time to succeed in sinking the ball in the basket. And I know some of you are thinking, well, why didn't somebody tell Shaq about this? But you don't really get good at anything without practicing. We want to practice those things that are essential. There's always room in our lives for improvement. There's room in our lives in so many different areas whereby we can improve by engaging in practice. David undoubtedly practiced playing his musical instrument incessantly. That's why he was so good at it. He took time to practice, to refine his skills. We need to do the same. We need to take time out and take advantage of our time. Psalm 90 and verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, making the very best possible use of your time, that we can refine our various skills, as did David, the officer and the gentleman. Not only do we see his skill exemplified and identified, but we see in the fact that he was a mighty, valiant man. The word valiant is translated from a Hebrew word meaning strong. David was a man of muscle as well as a man of music. This is an unusual complication. It reflected the fact that he was not an effeminate sissy, but had lots of commendable manliness. Valiant is defined by Merriam-Webster as possessing or acting with bravery or boldness, marked by exhibiting or carried out with courage or determination. It is also defined as heroic. Such was David. As Christians living in the kind of world in which we live, we need to exemplify and exhibit this kind of spiritual strength as faithful children of God. Not only do we see the strength of David and the skill of David, but we also see encapsulated in this verse the soldiership of David, a man of war. And he was a young fellow. David fought off the predators of his sheep. A lion and a bear were killed single-handedly by this man of war to protect his sheep. He was a courageous young man who would fight for that which was right. He would take a stand against evil and injustice. He would not stand idly by and allow the rights of the innocent and the weak to be trampled on the calloused and insensitive feet. He was a man who was a man of war. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 36. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through verses 36, while the king himself and the soldiers under his charge were cowering in fear, trembling with dreadful apprehension, David, an officer and a gentleman, came on the scene. 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 through 36. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." That is because of the giant Goliath. "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." You know, Paul said to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." Saul unwittingly was despising the youth of David. He was looking down upon him. He was discrediting David. He said, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't achieve, what you can't do. Don't allow anybody to keep you from performing at maximal level, living up to the ability with which God has blessed you. Don't allow folks to block your achievements." I said, "No, you can't do that." "You can do it." With God's help, you can do it. Are you just a little girl, or you just a little boy, growing up poor? You can't be a great gospel preacher. You can't be a great electrical engineer. You can't be a great attorney. Some people will tell you, not just you, young folks, but old folks, as a Christian, you can't be a lawyer. You can be a lawyer and still be a Christian. Now, there are some things you can't be as a Christian. There are some careers you can't follow as a Christian, because you cannot engage in any particular career that will cause you to compromise your spiritual values and spiritual principles predicated upon the Word of God. You cannot engage in practicing any particular profession that causes you to violate your conscience and to violate the Word of God. So we need to be careful what careers we encourage our children to pursue. You need to engage in some kind of work and pursue some kind of career whereby you can bring glory and honor to God and not discredit God, not reflect in a negative and reproachful fashion upon the holiness and righteousness of God. David didn't allow Saul to extinguish his commitment and determination to fight against Goliath. Saul said further, verse 33 still, "For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." You a boy. You just a young fella. This guy is a man of war from his youth. Besides that, this fellow is a giant. There's no way you can beat this guy. Verse 34, David said unto Saul, "Let me tell you something. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Verse 35, "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." I would like to have seen that. Man, that must have been something. I've never come face to face with a real lion or a real bear without the wired cage at the zoo being between us. And the lion and bear better be glad that that fence or that cage of wire was between us. They would have been in serious trouble if they had removed that barrier between us. Y'all act like y'all don't believe that. But verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." You say, "Brother Jones, I'm not going to come into contact with no lion or bear, and I'm not going to have to face no giant like Goliath." I beg to differ. You have some spiritual giants that you have to face, and you need to have the same courage. You need to have the same commitment. You need to have the same trust in God that was evident in the life and heart of David. You are involved in warfare. You are a soldier in the army of God, and you are engaged in fighting each and every day. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Are you involved in a battle, all right? We are grappling with the forces of evil, and we need to have the same attitude of David, the officer, and the gentleman. David concluded that if I was able to, and notice, Paul said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are no match for the devil. You are no match. See, the devil is that lion you got to deal with. That's right. That's the lion you got to deal with. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he will chew you up and spit you out if you are not prepared, if you are not armed like David was armed. Are you prepared to deal with spiritual warfare? You need the whole armor of God. And I'm not going to elaborate on that as we move along. But David was a man of war. Let us move on. When the phrase is used, prudent in matters. The word matters is translated from a Hebrew word, which is translated word or words over 700 times, but matters only 60 times. The King James original has speech in the margin. The compliment here refers to a man of discreet speech, a man who knows this, how to use his tongue wisely. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2, that's Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. What about your speech? Do you use the tongue aright? Are you a person engaging in discreet speech? We should let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that we might know how we ought to answer every man. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Not only was his speech commendable and appropriate, but it is stated that he was a comely person. The word comely refers to the outline or figure of a person. David was no couch potato. Physical condition is no substitute for spirituality, but we need to take care of ourselves to the degree that we can, so that we can bring honor to God and use ourselves in a more positive and effective and efficient way in order to accomplish the work and the purposes of God. Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of both the life that now is and of that which is to come. But David was a fine physical specimen of a man as an officer and a gentleman. But finally, and most significantly, we should be impressed with the fact that the Lord was with him. This speaks of David's spirituality. This is the best attribute of David. It says David's piety showed. David's spirituality was evident. It was not a secret. David did not hide his faith. He recognized that he couldn't beat the giant by himself, and he wouldn't even try. He recognized that the battle belonged to the Lord. With the Lord's help, the giant would fall. Some people said, well, he's too big to beat. David probably concluded by faith, this big rascal is too big to miss. When you get an opportunity, revisit the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel and observe again that episode that ever lives in the minds and memories of many, of David running toward the giant. He'd already picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook. He didn't need but one, placed it in his sling, and slung it, and it hit its mark in the forehead of the giant, and the big fella fell. David, who didn't have a sword, ran to him, took out his sword, cut off his head, because God enabled him, enabled the officer and the gentleman. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, why not become one through obedience to the gospel? If you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel, not become a part of the church, a part of God's family, through believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he died for your sins and mine according to the scriptures, how he was buried and how he arose again triumphantly from the grave on the third day. By believing that with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, being baptized for the remission of your sins, the Lord will make you a part of his family. He will take away your sins. He will save you even within this hour. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can become new this evening. If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you've fallen by the wayside, you've lapsed into a tragic pattern of unfaithfulness, you have trampled under calloused and insensitive feet the holy commandments of the Lord, you have disregarded the requirements of the Lord, and taken control over your own life, wrested control away from God, why not return control to God? Why not recommit your life to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you do that this evening? Will you recommit your life this evening? I trust that you will, as we together stand and as we sing.
Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near, interest within demanding, who is the voice I hear? Sweet,
don't turn voice of the Lord.
Me,
if thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
Lonely without
thee. Why not invite unlock from on the inside. Why not invite him in? Don't keep him out. He wants to come in.
I am condemned to die.
Why not invite him in?
Tongues are.